Welcome to New Thinking for a New World, a Tilburg Foundation podcast. I am Alan Stoga, your host. Each week, I bring you conversations with people who think differently about the great issues that are shaping our world. Geopolitics, disruptive tech, mass migration, the changing climate, culture wars, all of it is grist for our mill. I hope you enjoy listening. I also hope you will let me know what you think and that you join the conversation at tilburgfoundation.org. And now for today's episode of New Thinking for a New World.
One of the most widely accepted truths, and I use quotes on that, about our time is that democracy is under pressure almost everywhere. Unfortunately, there is a lot of anecdotal, never mind polling evidence, to make the case that democratic institutions are being eroded by a rising tide of authoritarianism in too many countries. So let's celebrate one of the exceptions to that rule, Bangladesh. In that South Asian country of more than 170 million people, during the summer of 2024, a student-led revolution succeeded in expelling the brutal government of Sheikh Hasina, who had ruled for 15 years. Fast forward to February 2026, and the country has just conducted an election that, by all accounts, was mostly free, fair, and peaceful, and attracted 60% of eligible voters. The result was that the interim government, led by Nobel Prize winning Mohamed Yunus, has now been replaced by a democratically elected government. From start to finish, the entire transformation took less than 20 months. Score one for democracy and for the Bangladeshis. My guests today were in the front ranks of that revolution. Aisha Siddiqua and Umama Fatema were both leaders of Students Against Discrimination, the organization that drove the revolution. Welcome, Aisha and Umama, to New Thinking for a New World.
Thank you, Alan, for bringing us to your program.
Thank you, Alan, for inviting us today on the podcast.
And thank you for joining us. This is a terrifically important issue. So let's start at 50,000 feet. How do you feel about where your country is today compared to where it was 2 years ago? Umama, why don't you start? How do you feel?
First of all, hello, everyone, whoever is hearing or listening to this podcast. Assalamu alaikum from my side. I'm a student who was part of this appraisal during 2024 and work as a coordinator from Dhaka University. And after 1.5 years, a new government has come and they have taken over the power. Overall, it's very early to comment about anything after the election. So if we go through the period of interim government and how they rule the country, it's a mixed feeling from as a student. And most of the time, I think the promises they make that they will do the reformations, the systemic reformations in the country, they will build up the institutions. But unfortunately, I didn't see that sort of reformations in any institutions, unfortunately. But at the end of the day, they were very much successful in curtailing the election, at least. And the election was very smooth. Everyone went into the polling area, they voted, and they exercised their voting rights. And that's it. That's the thing that mattered. And at the end of the day, because people didn't have that voting right for 17 years. But we are looking forward to the next government and what they are going to do and how they are going to partake the changes they promised, at least.
Aisha, let me ask you the same question, but slightly differently. How do you feel today compared to that memory of where things were 2 years ago? Is it better? Is it a lot better? Are you more hopeful?
So, hello, everyone. This is Aisha Siddiqua Ritif, a student and a young activist from Bangladesh. So what you have just asked, Alan, so if I compare early 2024 to today, then I would say my mindset has quite shifted from being like quite frustration to cautious engagement. That's the most noticeable change I have felt. Because before July 2024, many of us felt powerless like politically aware, but politically powerless. The domain is of Sheikh Hasina and the like Awami League created a sense that the whatever the outcome was, it was very much predictable for the people of the Bangladesh, and the participation had like a limited impact. Like whether you participate into politics or not, it doesn't matter. It won't bring any change to the people. And like, but now after July 2024, the sense of inevitability disappeared. Like politics suddenly felt open. You can participate, and if the participation of your like in politics means very much to the people, and it would like you can feel the change that your participation would bring some change into the situation of the country. That psychological shift may be one of the most important changes I have ever felt compared to 2024, like early 2024 to now. And like you can see the election, just Umama Appa has already talked about that how the drastic change has like felt to the people that in 2024 we had an like election, and now in 2026 we had our recent election after the revolution. So these two, if we compare these two elections together, and we can see that how the young people are getting more engaged to the politics, and how they are willing to like do something for the people and the country. So this is one of the main change I have ever felt after July revolution.
We can wait to talk a bit about whether and how reform actually happens, and what this government does or does not do, and so on. I want to come back to that, but I want to stay for a moment with the fact of the last 20 months. Umama, 20 months ago, 24 months ago, let's say, I'm sure you share what Aisha just said, that you were frustrated, politics didn't matter, nothing was going to change. What made you an activist? What motivated you other than that sense? Because that sense a lot of people have, but not everyone does something with it.
The thing that happened in the 2024 uprising, it itself, it's a very big experience for an individual. But with the students who had been actively engaged in politics or social activism, even during the period of Sheikh Hasina, for us, it was a very difficult and very frustrating phase, because we have to see the same face each and every day in the television, and she's been uttering utmost bullshit in the television, to be honest. So whenever
technical political term. We put quotes on it.
So that's the thing. For a person who is a part of the youth, and we want to see what's governing doing about unemployment, price hike, or economy. On the other hand, what we have been saying is what we have been seeing is just daily soap in the parliament. So that's the thing that frustrated us as a youth, even when I was in school. So at that time, I became motivated to participate in different sort of environmental activism that concerned the mangrove forest of Bangladesh or the river economy. So Bangladesh had a great deal of bilateral deals with India at that time, because Sheikh Hasina was just constantly, she was trying to appease India by doing a lot of unjust, by fulfilling a lot of their unjust demands. And at that time, as I was part of a environmental activism group, so I had been participating in this sort of movements during 2016 or 2017. So after that, when I came to university, I saw that saw more raw version of politics, where I could literally see that the university dormitories, it was completely occupied by the students organization of the Awami League, or the then power party. So the student political group, they occupied the dormitories, and each and every student who had to take a seat in the dormitory, they had to be part of that student organization. And by default, they had to be part of the student organization. And whoever didn't listen to them, whoever opposed their political view, whoever posted something in Facebook, they would literally beat him and just throw him out of the dormitory. So that was literally the day-to-day scenario of Dhaka University at that time. So when during 2024, when the whole mass appraisal, before the mass appraisal started, we actually had a movement. It was about unemployment. And it concerned unemployment because our government jobs, particularly the government jobs, it had 56% reservations. And the people who were closer to Awami League, they had been getting the jobs using this 56% quota system for last 17 years. So the youth who could literally see that they don't have anyone who is affiliated with Awami League, so they can't have a good job. They can't have a prestigious job. And someone who doesn't have that sort of quality is getting all the sort of opportunities and every sort of jobs from the government. So that's the thing that triggered the, first of all, the quota reformation movement on the early days of July. So for 15 and 16 days, we had been protesting against the unemployment issue. And when a boy named Abu Said, he was shot by the police, then it took turn into a appraisal. So it's something that Awami League was constantly doing, constantly kind of triggering the people, constantly talking bullshit in the parliament. And that's the thing that triggered ultimately this whole movement.
So all of that, the unemployment issue, the reservation issue, the dormitory issue, the environmental issues, you come to it from an environmental background. All of that had existed for a while. It has gotten worse, had gotten worse over time. But Aisha, in your case, let's go back to 2024. What was it about those early months of 2024 that either got you angry enough or gave you enough hope?
Well, like if I talk about how was it before 2024, like first I was also like observing because I am quite young to be my age and seeing all of the revolution, but it's quite normal for as a Bangladeshi. Because we have been seeing like a certain political party ruling over one decade and oppressing people. Like you can't ask for accountability, you can't ask for transparency. And when I realized that silence is also a political position. So if you are not talking about what's going wrong, then it's also you are also taking side of that wrongdoers. So that's when I started to questioning myself, and I realized that I was getting frustrated too as a young, that why isn't they letting people, young people, talk their problem when they are talking about how should they shape the future of young people. So you are talking about young people's future, but you are not including them and you are not hearing their voice. So where is the part of the young people's future in this position? So then I felt like, okay, I started to see that people, especially that University of Dhaka University students, they were very much active in cases of raising their voice, fighting against the injustice. So I used to dream like, yes, one day when I will be age enough, in a certain age, I will be on the road with them. So I would say that somehow my parents, along with my parents, student of university students were kind of my inspiration to become more confident and to raise my voice. And then now when after July 2024, the role is also going on and on, because I've never stopped from after that. I continue to question the whatever whenever I am seeing anything, whenever I need to question or whenever I need to criticize either it's government or either it's any political figure. it doesn't matter. Because we have understand that the youth has understand that finally, that if you're not going to question, if you're not going to ask the ask them the accountability, then you will lose the power. You will give them the whole power and they will abuse the power.
Umama, this was as you both described, a student-led process. Not even process is perhaps the wrong word. It was a student-led thing that happened. Why did others follow? You found your voices. Why did they follow those voices?
Particularly, it's because of the history. Historically, Bangladesh, even before Bangladesh was born, when it was part of Pakistan, when it was part of the British Empire, during the starting of the 20th century, there has been massive student movements in the Indian subcontinent, even before Britishers left the continent. Even during 1990s, after the 10-year tyranny of Hossein Mohammad Ershad, and he was a dictator at that time, and Hossein Mohammad Ershad also was ousted by the students, by the students of Dhaka University and the school, colleges. So everyone marched into the streets, and eventually Ershad had to give up the power. So after 1990s, because of that history, when Sheikh Hasina was in power for 17 years, every general people, they could not actually see any hope. They always think that, okay, now political parties, they only think for their own benefit. So whenever political parties were doing any movement and calling people to come to the streets and overthrowing the government, the people did not listen to them. It's because our general people, they don't trust the political parties because they are very corrupted. But as students had a long history of resistance, the people were actually waiting when students will be united and they will call for the movement against the government. During the period of Sheikh Hasina, there had been many massive student movements, but none of them had been successful in turning the whole movement into an uprising. But because of other situations, as you know, there has been different events that had been happening around the world. If we see Sri Lanka in 2002, there was a massive uprising in Sri Lanka. And for the Bangladeshi people, as we have been quite frustrated about the government, by the end of 2018, we had started to become frustrated. And when we saw Sri Lanka and how they ousted their own government, the Rajapakse and his own whole family out of Sri Lanka, that was the time maybe the general people as a whole, we had some sort of inspiration that maybe one day in our own country, we will be able to oust our government in a similar manner.
The point is that there's been a long history of in student movements.
Right. There's another thing I think I need to add, maybe to sum up the thing around the conversation around students. As Aisha was saying, that the silence, that was the thing that facilitated the tyranny of Sheikh Hasina. It's because after 1990s, as I said, during 1990s, there was a massive uprising that ousted the then tyranny whose name was General Ershad, Hossein Mohammad Ershad. So when Ershad was ousted, there had been different policies that were given by World Bank or IMF or different international organizations who had been deliberately trying to stop the student politics in the campuses. And they also had different economic policies that will eventually introduce taxation system in the private universities specifically they wanted to introduce tax on the university education system, on schools, on colleges. So for last 17 years, and there's another policy that had happened, is that there's a massive sentiment around the society. It's an extremely anti-political sentiment that had brought up after 2007 and 2008.
But what was it about 2 years ago that finally created the possibility of this change. Because as you've just repeated, episode after episode after episode over 17 years did not produce change. But something was in the air in 2024 that did produce change. Aisha, what do you think?
I think I'm going to add something with Umamapa, because she has already said that how richful, like enriched history we have already. Like always it's the youth who lived the any kind of change whenever the society or the country needed. So in during July Revolution, it was also the same youth, because, you know, Umamapa has already said that in 2018, there was already a protest against the like quota system. And then the government didn't fulfill their promise. And the young people were getting frustrated and frustrated. And the unemployment was percentage was rising so high that the future of the young people was in question. That what they're going to do? Because it's a huge number of unemployment problem in what was rising in this country. And to solve this problem, I think, and I was also in 2018 when the protests were going, because it's not because that I was a college student. It was the sense that I have to, in some day, in the near future, I will be a university student. So I will be in the same position if I don't speak up right now. So it was the same that near future, we will be in the same position. If we don't speak up with our seniors or with the people, then this never-ending problem will never get solved. So that was the voice that student and young people really thought, that is their responsibility and is that their inner voice, that we need freedom of speak, because many students has already died because of stating what they really think and saying against the corruption of the previous government. And that was the fear, our parents used to had. That's why they didn't say anything against the corruption. And and we, the young people, really didn't care about it. It's now or never. Because it's becoming not only our future, it's also the future of the children. You know, they are young right now, they are the children right now, but it's also about their future. If we don't shape it right now, if we don't question it right now, then this never-ending loop will never end.
Do you know leaders who, regardless of where they live or what they do, are changing the world? Leaders who are not content with what is and are working hard for what could be. Leaders with both a demonstrated track record and the potential for continued impact. Leaders whose work is innovative, courageous, rooted in universal values, and global in approach or implication. If so, please nominate them for the Telberg SNF Eliasson Global Leadership Prize at telbergprize.org.
What are expectations? What are your expectations, and what are youth more generally expectations sitting here at the start of this new chapter in Bangladesh's political history? What do you expect?
We had a lot of expectations. Currently, I don't even know what do you expect from the government, because the bar was so high that currently we are really trying to adjust ourselves with the new norm, the elected government, and what the things that they are going to do. But we do really expect that the elected government, the now elected government, they have also promised that they will take actions about the money laundering that had happened during the last 17 years. Specifically, Sheikh Hasina, she had completely drained out the banks, the economy, and her assets are all around the world. So what we expected from the interim government is that they would take some actions and they will try to seize the properties and take the money, bring the money to the country, because that is the thing that economy needs. And we really want perfect or something that concerns the youth, because the interim government, what we had expected, that they will create job opportunities for the youth. But unfortunately, even the Bangladesh Bank or their economic policies, they were focusing on keeping the economy stable rather than having incentives to boost it. So what do we expect from the government is that they will have some policies that will boost the economy. Also, they will have different policies so that the different job sectors for the youth will be created. And there's another thing that the government has promised that specifically the industry workers and the farmers, they had been suffering for the last 17 years, even during the period of interim government. And we have a large farmers population. But unfortunately, this group of people have never been incentivized during the last regime. The current government, they have promised that they will have incentives from the lower income people, along with farmers and industry workers. What we wish to see is, along with the stable economy, they will have different incentives for different section of people in the society. As I'm a youth, obviously, I want a free and fair freedom of speech, and we want a free environment in the society after 2024. And the government, they're very, I think they're very concerned about it. Is they don't want to, anger the youth. At least they don't want to stir up the youth in any way. So by this time, they're only thinking about recovering the economy. So we do expect that other than the economy, the promises they have made about implementing the July Charter, implementing the reformations policies that the interim government have just left half baked. So maybe the elected government, they are going to fulfill the promises that the interim government had made with the July Charter. We have a lot of expectations, but we are not very sure if the elected government is eventually successfully partake all the reformations that they have promised. So we are really looking forward to the changes. We're just watching what they're going to do.
Aisha, expectations.
We just had our election, and before that, the interim government was on the power. So they did, I would say, like, whatever they did, the reform, the promise, they couldn't fulfill or they didn't fulfill. But now that we have our new government, we are at an inflection point, I would say, because, democracy is not always, like, permanent, or it's an event. Like, it's a long process in a country like Bangladesh, where it's been the whole system has been corrupted for so long time, and the fall of a long dominant leadership structure has created like an opportunity for the people of Bangladesh, and this opportunity doesn't guarantee the reform or the transformation for the people, because if we are talking about that how this government will bring reform or the fulfill our expectation, I think they must show the sustainability of democracy, like accountability, showing accountability and protection of dissidents, and also like transparency, and also creating and fulfilling what promises they have made before the election, and how they are gonna fulfill these promises. Like it's a new era. So I think I would say that I don't have that much expectation strongly, but I am optimistic. And because we have already seen that too much optimism might cause the dissatisfaction later if they don't fulfill the requirements or the what we are expecting from them. So I'm going to keep my hope on them, and let's see what they bring on the table for the people, for the country.
Let me ask one last question, because we're running out of time. You've both talked about government as the elected government as them. What will they produce? the people, the students produced this change, and now it's back in the hands of the professionals. We see a president, a prime minister who's been around for a long time. The families are back in control of the parties. Awami League is gone, but the Bangladesh National Party has a two-thirds majority, has the ability to execute, at least in parliament. Not knowing Bangladesh, and I don't know Bangladesh, from a distance, one could say, well, they went through a very difficult revolution, and now it's different. Hasina's gone, but an old family is back. Is it really changed? Let me be precise. Do you just expect them to deliver? And if not, then it's back to the streets? Or are you and are your friends going to say, no, we need to be part of this. We need to be part of the government itself? Because very few students were elected in this last election.
There's very few room for the students to be part of this change, to be honest, because as the new government, who is this elected by the people, they're in power, they're in the cabinet, and their will is being their will is being served. So obviously, for the general students of us who don't have that much of authority on the government currently, we can only talk about them. We can only have conversations about them, but we can't really have any real, make any real change that we expected. To be honest, as you say to shortage, I can say that I'm neither very optimistic, I'm neither very hopeful. Rather, I want to be practical, to be honest. And in last 1.5 year, during the first half of the tenure of the interim government, what we saw is that the power from the students, it went into the hands of the bureaucrats. And within 6 or 7 months, we had been seeing the law enforcement forces, the interim government, the political parties, and the bureaucracy, all of them together, they have again created their power centers, and they are back in the game. So the JN students who were very much part of the movement, who had overthrown the government, who had died in the streets, whose brother or sisters have died in the streets, they are no one else. They only got some recognition from the government, nothing else. So it's like maybe that's how democracy works. Maybe that's how the government and the governmental system works. But after I had seen a lot of electoral politics, how the parties worked in last 1.5 year, after just viewing the whole process, I can't be that much optimistic about the future. Though I want my country to be stable, I want all the things to be done, and I'm just trying to be practical about the whole thing.
Aisha, last word.
My feeling is like cautious optimism rather than like a strong optimistic, because the political transition often generates hope. I think I have seen young people around my age feel very much empowered and watchful after the July Revolution till now, and still they are very much hopeful for the new government, as it should be. Because we are also afraid to show early optimism, because it may fade the structural reform if it doesn't follow what they have promised before election. And for me, I believe in a single government or a government cannot bring change or reform by themselves if the people of the country don't stand out and raise their voice and talk about their problems. So if we let the government have their own way to reform and decide the how the real transformation should be, and decide by the only decided by the politician, then it won't change, because they are the same old people who were before us. So why didn't they talk about the change before the students of Bangladesh went to the street and protested against the former fascist government? So I think the citizen should remain engaged with the government and for the change for the country. And if we don't talk about, if we don't correct them, if we don't talk against them, if we don't criticize them, then they won't realize what they are doing. Sometimes it's not right for the people. Sometimes it's they need to change the method. Sometimes they need to listen to the people, listen to the people who are facing the problem.
So thank you, Aisha. Thank you, Mama. Democracy is messy. Democracy is messy when it works well. When it's not messy, you know something is wrong. So I think what we've heard in this last half hour of conversation is democracy in Bangladesh is messy. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But then just to end with what you've both said, unless the citizens remain engaged and active, then it'll slide back to a place that nobody wants to go to. So again, congratulations on what's happened over the last 2 years. And thank you for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New Thinking for a New World. I'm Alan Stoga, podcast host, and I look forward to your joining our next conversation. Remember, tell us what you think at telbergfoundation.org.